I know that this is the day. This is the day that my Lord has made.
This is the day.
Oh, yes, this is the day. Oh, yes, this is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. And I will rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. And be glad in it. And be glad in it. Oh, yes, this is the day that the Lord has shown. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I know that this is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made.
One more time, hallelujah.
Oh, yes, now this is the day. Yes, this is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. And I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad. That this is the day. Yes, this is the day that the Lord has made.
Amen. God bless you. Go ahead, sister.
Amen.
I'm so grateful to be back in the house. There's nothing like feeling homesick to be around your brothers and sisters.
Sure.
And I'm so glad to be here. He has done so much for me.
Yeah. Amen.
I came up here to get that prayer, to get in that line. And he said, only bring things before that you're really ready. And this time last year, I went on a hike at the kids' school because they go to a school where they go on hikes and stuff through the woods, like real hikes, like what we did as a body. And this time last year, I couldn't go past the bouncy bridge. This year, I put it before me because I wanted to be able to go up and down stairs. And they got it so where I can go up and down the stairs now. No, I'm not doing it on my own yet. But he has showed me that healing's paid for. And I'm going to listen to the physical therapist as long as I have to so that I will be able to do it for sure, without re-injuring myself. Because that's what the problem is me. And so, but I was able to go on that hike. I went across the bouncy bridge. I went to the treehouse. I went to the rock wall.
Amen, amen.
And I made it all the way back to the school because of him. Yeah. He took me the whole way. And I'm grateful because just give me a minute and I could just turn around. All these things that are wrong with me, he shows me, and all I have to do is just give me a minute. You guys have been wonderful with the testimonies.
Amen.
On time to help me when I couldn't be here with you. I was listening to you and you uplifted me.
Amen.
And you brought me through so I could come back.
Amen.
And I'm back here because I love this word.
Amen.
And I'm grateful to be here, and I can't wait to hear what he has to say to me today.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you, sir. And just announcements-wise, remember, in November when we do our dinner, that's on the 20th, just remember to send a text to Sister Elise to let her know what you're bringing so we can get that planned out.
Amen.
Looking forward to that Thanksgiving dinner. Looking forward to whatever God's going to do.
Right. Amen.
Right? That's what I'm looking forward to. I wanted to sing a song, You Deserve the Glory.
Right.
Key of A is page 204.
I'm just humming.
You think of that song?
Just humming.
Amen. Go ahead, Brother Kevin.
I'd be remiss not to give a little testimony about Jay's Wednesday. My goodness, yeah, he tore it up, man. It was good. It was really good. And, you know, it's great to see the ministers here and yielding to what God wants. I mean, it's really a blessing to us. It really is. I was telling Sway, I thank God for Jay, because, you know, we're a real church with real problems, you know, and he's being real. And that's right. Really, it's the best way of really receiving the word, amen. I feel like. And in my opinion, you know, if I'm wrong, Pastor Ward, but it's good for us because, you know, we come here, we have real problems. We're not trying to put on. That's not a fake belief. We just, we who we are. We love God.
Right, amen.
We genuinely love God. And it's a blessing. It really is. Just sit back and just like, God, it's just, he's amazing. It really is. I mean, and the evidence he was talking about, it's simple. Just saying yes to the word. That's it. Right. That's it. I mean, that's all you have to do. And I don't know what's so hard about that.
Yeah.
You know, and like, you know, we were talking about, you know, the world does not want God. They don't. They make it so hard. And I thank God it's not about works. You know what I mean? Because I would have felt a long time ago.
Sure.
It was works. You know what I mean? So I thank God that God has freed us.
Right.
Freed us. And, you know, it's really a blessing. And, you know, and everybody wants this. And I understand that. It's sad, but you know what? Still, DeBron still has to march on.
We know
the truth. So, I thank God for that. I really do, and I just want to say, Jay, you did a wonderful job, man. So,
amen. God bless you, brother Kevin. Appreciate you, brother.
It's beautiful to see that God takes your eyes off everything else that they think matters. It's not a matter. Everything else in this world is a distraction.
Right.
Only
right.
one thing in my life is not a distraction. And that's the word of God. You know, and that's the only thing that matters. And I'm so grateful. You know, at all the things that I've gotten. Is to have a new birth.
Amen.
And once you get the new birth, it takes care of everything else. I like what Jay said. So many things comes full service, but you know, the house is built, everything's done.
Yeah.
I'm just moving furniture around.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to work to put anything into it. I'm not trying to work to paint the wall. I'm not trying to do anything else, but just enjoy the house.
Right.
Just enjoy moving the furniture around. And I was just thinking about that all week, you know. I'm grateful to be able to come back into a place that just simply reminds you again, one more time, what your purpose is.
Amen.
You know, Brother Moore said there at the end of service that, you know, at one time Luther preached just shall live by faith, and that's all he had.
Right.
Wesley came in, he touched on it, obviously it's where he came out of. But to come up here and know that the only thing that matters is just going home.
That's it.
Through it all, through all your problems, through all your ups, through all your downs, through all your tribulations, through all your whatever you go through in this human life, the one thing that I'm focused on is just simply going home.
Amen.
Knowing that he's prepared a place there for me.
For me.
He said, if it wasn't so, I wouldn't even told you so.
Right.
But I've already told you. I've given you my promise. It's just simply waiting for you. And I love that so much because I get caught up in my own distractions. Sometimes you look at yourself and say, Lord, I should do this better and I should do that better. And I failed here and I failed here and I haven't done this right and I haven't done that right. And you can beat yourself up. Every single day of your life, if you want to. But then I come back in here, and it's just a reminder one more time.
Amen.
I can't do anything else but say yay and amen through the word of God.
I'm a believer.
You know, you can tell me, hey, you should have done this better, and I'd say you're right.
Yes.
And you could have said you could live better here. You're 100% right on that, and I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Forgive me. Give me 1 minute, and I'll make that right too. But the one thing you can't do is get me to deny the word of God.
Come on. Amen.
I've got a few days in here, 31 years worth of days in here.
Wow.
And I know what the truth is.
Amen.
I know what God calls for, and I believe each and every bit of it, and my desire is to live up to it every single day of my life.
Amen.
But the greatest thing, Brother Moore, is to be able to walk in these doors and be able to just take everything off and let it all just fall like water on a duck's back and just say, Lord, it's nothing but the truth.
Amen.
That's why when we come in here and I say you deserve the glory, I mean that.
I mean it.
God deserves the glory. He's done it all. He's justified. He's glorified.
Yeah.
He'll see me through.
Right.
He's prepared a mansion. He's done it all. I prepared a place for you.
Amen.
I've got a wedding supper with reserved seating with your name on it.
Amen.
And I'll be the one to wipe the tears from your eyes. I'll do that.
He'll do it.
I'll see you through. I'll give you an answer when you need answers.
Amen.
I'll solve problems when you need solved problems. I'll do every bit of that for you because I love you.
Because I love you. Man.
Because he first loved me.
Amen.
So easy for me to love him.
Amen.
It's not even, it doesn't even take an effort. It's not even something I have to think about.
Uh-uh.
It's just like that. And I just am so grateful to be able to come into the house one more time.
Amen.
Say, Lord, thank you for all you've done.
Amen.
You deserve the glory.
Amen. Let's sing that. Key of A, I think. You deserve the glory.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You deserve the glory. Your whole
name, you deserve the glory and the honor. I lift my hands in worship and I bless your holy name, for you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. Deserve the glory and the honor. I lift my hands in worship and I bless your holy name, for you
so great. There is no sitting here thinking about everything.
Amen.
You know, he cannot deny himself. I cannot deny that word, no matter what. And really, that's the only thing I got going for me.
That's it. Yeah.
Everything else, just walling around the mud hole, trying to get by, trying to find something to satisfy a little bit, you know, on this side to make ends meet and things.
That's it.
But, you know, he's got this thing.
Amen.
He's got it. And that's my only hope. That's the only thing that I look to, the thing I rejoice in, the thing I worship him for. You know, the word's a discerner. You know, you can't help it.
No.
Right. You see spirits coming, going left and right, and you just can't help it. And, and it sometimes your righteous soul is just kind of vexed. You know, if it's not in yourself, it's in what you see around you. And, you know, and I think, Lord, glad you got it. Because it sure is a mess.
Amen.
But his word, his truth keeps marching on.
Yes.
You know, and it has come this far, and it's certainly going to go all the way. Yes. Matter of fact, it's a finished work.
So. Amen.
Been finished from the beginning, but now it's almost manifested as being a finished work. And I'm thankful for that, and I rejoice in that. Because, I don't know, sometimes you look around, you just shake your head. Sometimes you look at yourself and you just shake your head. And, you know, you almost feel like a hypocrite yourself because you know what kind of mess you are.
Sure.
But yet he abides faithful.
Right.
He cannot deny himself.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Sister Renee?
We were singing that song and I don't even know what I'm going to say, but there's no one else like him.
Right.
You know, he loved me so much that he came down here and he's walking right with me, and he's guiding me every single step of the way. And I'm just so thankful for my husband. You know, I don't say it enough, but I every day I am. I live it, so I don't have to always tell you guys how much I love that man. But I'm just thankful for him.
Right.
I don't know. I had all kinds of things that I wanted to say that was on my heart.
That's all right.
And I don't want to. I don't want to forget. You know, He guides me, and he wrote my story. And no matter if I mess everything up, it's fine. I was thinking, though, when we were singing that song, I was thinking, my life is so peaceful and just full of happiness.
Amen.
And just, you know, I know that things aren't perfect, but how much better can my life be in heaven? I mean, you know, when we get raptured out of here, I can't even imagine it being better than this. You know what I mean? Right now, we have everything off of us. It is perfect.
Right.
Amen.
I'm just so grateful. But I was thinking about those miracles, and I'm just thinking about the miracles that God has done in my life. And one of the things that was brought to my mind, my little nephew, he was he's 12 now, but when he was born, he had allergies so bad, everything that he ate, he would break out, and he was allergic to everything, and peanut butter, you know how dangerous that can be, and chocolate and stuff. I said, you know what, Lord, I don't want him to have that. I don't want his parents to have to worry about him eating peanut butter ever, and he doesn't have any allergies.
Amen.
I mean, it quickly went away.
Right.
By the time he had his next checkup, it was gone. And I was just thinking about my daughter. She's got some tests this week. You know, one of her tests came back positive. I think I told you guys about their tests and everything. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not worried about this. And I don't mean to act cliche, like, oh, Lord's going to take care. But he will.
Yeah, he will.
It's weird for me to try to explain this to other people, but he will. He will take care of it.
Right.
And she's got a test on Tuesday, and her eye is still distorted and red and swollen, and they're thinking it might be this, it might be that. It's not. There's in her little my chart, it says maybe it's this.
It's not.
And she just has to go and meet someone, and I'm going to take whoever takes care of my little baby girl. And, you know, and I got a brother. His body continually creates kidney stones, and he won't change his eating habits to fix these kidney stones, but God can.
Right.
And I don't want him to have any pain. I don't want his body to create any more kidney stones.
That's
and so whether that happens here or not, God wrote that story for all of them.
Right.
And I'm just grateful to be here and get to hear what God's got to tell me today. And just thankful that my ears listen. You know, my ears, and on my, it's not anything that I have done. God created these ears to be able to hear, to be able to talk to these people, to be able to take these people. You know, sometimes I sit and I look, I'm a black Satan's eye today.
Amen.
Sometimes I sit and I look at those pictures, and, you know, some of you don't know, but my husband was married before, and, you know, his wife is, his ex-wife is in these pictures, and sometimes I, you know, I don't really like that, but guess what?
I guess.
I'm here, and yeah. I've been here for over 20 years.
Yeah, there you go.
And Brother Chris, you know, you prayed for your ex-wife the other day, and that really touched my heart.
Yes,
I thought,
yes.
You know what, that's true love.
Amen.
Because exes aren't the best.
No.
Anyway, I love you guys. I love you. Oh, I'm thinking.
Amen. God bless you, Renee. Brother Mike.
Amen.
Wow. Yeah, Jimmy, we've been here a long time.
A long time, Brother.
I just wanted to be thankful
Amen.
For knowing about I'm not hooked up in a form or fashion
right.
like the rest of the world is. Mm-hmm. Take the scripture, anything you ask in his name.
Right.
I am his name.
Right.
I am in his name.
Right.
Everything
yeah.
I say
I come.
And
I mean.
Ask for, I ask for in his name.
Right.
It's not a form or fashion for me. That's what I expect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If Joy asked me for something, she shouldn't expect something else. All she has to do, everything she asks for now, she asks in my name.
Right,
when she
right,
signs
right.
that checkbook, she does it in my name.
Yeah. She's taking your name.
Yeah, she's taking my name. I've taken his name. I don't have to worry about no form or fashion. I don't have
right,
to, well,
right.
maybe, maybe. No. He said, ask in my name. Well,
yeah,
I am in his name.
It.
Everyone of them. There's only two names,
right.
Satan
right.
or God.
Right.
Everything you do in God's
right.
name and go forward into it.
Right, amen.
Sometimes we trip. Who cares? That means nothing. It's just a little bit of a stumble to help someone else.
Right.
Anytime you see anything, a little stumble, that's really for someone else.
Yeah.
If nothing else, it teaches someone else grace.
Right.
I don't need it myself. I've already got it.
Amen.
My grace is for other people.
Right.
And I'm grateful for knowing that. I'm great. My healing, every single time.
Yeah.
It's been going through, and each time it came through that way. I've had some fairly serious illnesses in my life, but here I stand. Why? I said, well, God, you only have two choices. You can either cure me so I can continue to do your work, or you can take me off the scene.
Right.
Either one I'm fine yeah. with. Just
God's
do
game.
Choose one of them and do it. Whatever, yeah. whichever one you want, fine.
Amen.
But my mind is, I want to be able to continue to do your work here.
Yeah.
Not mine, not worry about anything else, just God. You said for me to work.
Well, right.
Some of those illnesses I wasn't able to work for, so Lord, you had to make up your mind.
Right.
You want me to continue your word or you want me off the scene? Either one.
Come on.
But everything I've asked for,
yeah.
I cannot ask for anything outside of his name.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Everything we do is in his name
Amen.
Because we are his name.
Word or name.
And that's the important thing to remember, that you've got something that the rest of the world doesn't. An understanding of that.
That's right. Amen.
And
absolutely.
I'm just so grateful for that to not have to worry about no form or fashion, that I just know
Amen.
Things.
Right.
Amen. Amen. God bless Brother Mike.
Yes,
appreciate
sir.
It. Brother John. You know, I'm just so happy to be here right now. You know, this isn't a put on. This isn't a game in here. You know, I look around and I see real people, real problems, real believers, you know,
yeah.
pushing forward.
All overcomers.
Like
all overcomers.
What Pastor said this at the beginning of the year, the last service of last year, he gave us the orders to move forward, and we've done nothing but that, you know. And I'm so grateful because I can pick up the word of God. I can receive
Amen.
The word of God, and it's well with my soul. You know, having that new birth is so important. It's the most important thing that you can ever have. And because what it does, it just ties you to that body.
Right.
And you have all the gifts that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as you grow in this thing, you know, and I love the examples. I love how the ministry breaks it down in here because it's so easy to pick up. A kid could pick it up. And Pastor said that's as easy as it should be. A child could pick it up. And I look at my kids and, you know, as they're growing and stuff and, you know, you feed them, they're going to grow. They continue to eat, they're going to grow. You continue to eat this word, you're going to grow. So I'm just grateful for what I get in here. God bless you.
God bless, brother. Yeah, sisters.
God bless you. I've been reluctant to get up, you know. I thank God for this body. Yeah. This is right. truly my safe place. Yes. I'm not going to cry, but I thank God because, you know, that song we talk about or we used to sing about, I lay awake at night. Mm-hmm. Gosh golly, was I not awake at night last night?
Right.
You know, there's when there's something troubling you, you know, I hear the word. Right. You know, I submit. But can I, Brother Moore, you know, he says things. And those things talk to me. And I'm like, okay, Belinda, you know, that word is a, it is a, we'll say, it, and I'll paraphrase, it evaluates you. If you apply it, it's going to discern. It's going to pull out what you're doing, what you're not doing. If you're going to be convicted, if you're living by your convictions, you know. We manifest Christ in our daily life when I represent God, when I represent this body, when I go out, and when I'm in my neighborhood, when I'm doing whatever I'm doing. You know, you want to do all to the glory of God. And, you know, I just ask for prayer because, you know, my life is not bad, but I know I can do something different. I feel that there's something I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. So, you know, I talk to Brother Moore about it. But at the same time, you know, when there's something on your heart and it's keeping you up at night, I don't like that. I like my rest.
Right.
But again, Wednesday night, you blessed me. I came in here
Amen.
Hungry, leading, and I heard from God.
Amen.
And I hear from God when I come to this place. Yeah. And Brother Moore and Brother Don Deskins, he said something about the pig getting dirty. You know, one pig might like it, the other pig may not. You know, what have you. In that analogy, I take the analogies and I'm like, wow, that's true. Yeah. All that's true. You know, some people enjoy the mud. You know, some people do not. So I take the word. I love the revelation that I get here. I love the rest.
Amen.
And when you apply this, it means everything.
Yes.
I have peace. When things come up at your job, oh, my God, did not things come up at my job. But I didn't have to look at it. I could look at it and say, Brother Moore's been through this. So what did he do? Okay, so do what he did. You don't have to call. Just apply what you've seen. And does it work? Surely it does. Does having a good spirit help? Yes. Does having a good attitude when things are going on and it's like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know what's going on. You have a rest. You have a foundation.
Exactly.
And that has helped me. Mm-hmm. You know, I probably might not be at work. I have to go to work. You know, two people got COVID at my job in the lab. So it's like, okay, so what's that mean for you? This is your off weekend, is it not? Yes, it is. But you got to do what you got to do.
Right.
You have to represent Christ and show you're a team player, although they already know that. But at the same time, you know, there's a sacrifice. There's something to be called for when you have a revelation. And I just thank God for that because I have a sound foundation here, and I love it here.
Amen. God bless you.
I'd like to say one more thing. You know, I thank God for Anna's healing.
Yes. Amen.
Say that.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
And that's something that, you know, all kinds of thoughts goes with that, but
sure.
You kick all those thoughts out.
Yes.
I'm a believer.
Amen.
And he's a healer.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't heal her, according to his word, then it's on him.
It's on him.
And I don't mean that in a bad, arrogant way or anything, but it's up to him to back his word up. I've done my part. I believe it. I believe in my heart, confess with my mouth.
Yes.
You know, and I've looked for it for many, many years.
Yes.
And I know he's more than able.
Yes.
And he's done greater things than that.
Yeah.
So it's nothing for him, but it's up to him.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Man, we're going to sing page 98. We need to hear from you. All right, get him up.
Yes, we do.
Appreciate the testimonies. Appreciate what God's doing.
Yes, 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 yes.
That song Sister Belinda was referencing was My Mind Is Made Up.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, that's you can lay awake at night if you want, but my mind is made up.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
That's when you're settled now. You got somebody that's got the answers.
Yes.
Yes.
Even in the Bible says comfort one another with these words.
These words.
Yeah,
yes,
these
yes,
are the
yes.
words that's going to comfort us. We need to hear from you, page 98.
Jim unplugged me.
Oh. I was like, are we getting up right now? I was like, you should sing it.
I was looking.
Jeez,
bro, Jim.
Un momento. Getting in trouble over there, Jim. No worries. Take your time. It's your church.
It's your house.
It's your house.
Your time. Your service. It's all on you.
You can start your
page. Okay. There we go. We need to hear from you. We need to hear from you. We need a word from you. If we don't hear from you, what will we do?
Father, we can't live without you, Lord. And we need to hear from you, Lord. We need to have you amongst us. It doesn't do any good for us to gather today if you're not going to be here in the midst. But Lord, we know you're here because you said where two and three are gathered in your name, in your word, then you'd be here. And you also said, Lord, they that worship you must, not can, must worship you in spirit and in truth. Yes. And Lord, we know the spirit is here today. Yes. And we know the truth is here today. Yes. Now you can receive our true worship. Bless those that are not here, that are out of town or couldn't make it for one reason or other this morning. But Lord, pray that you'll just come amongst us today. Move every hindrance aside and roll back the curtain there, we might be able to look into that holies of holies and see you for ourselves. Thank you for your word. Thank you for answering prayer. Thank you for touching, Lord. I ask you to continue to do so. Continue to touch Trevor. Continue to touch Sister Donna, John and Dawn, and different ones that have need. Brother Fred asked me to remember him and be. Lord, just be with them and touch their bodies. And Lord, different ones, the Earlys in Florida dealing with the hurricane aftermath. And Lord, the Philippines having storms now. And Lord, just the unrest throughout the world. Ask you, Lord, to move on the bride. Keep your shield on her, that protection to keep her out of harm's way in the middle of all this uncertainty. Lord, we open the word up before us. Lord, now I can't do any more than this. You have to take it and take it from here. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Move both the speaker and the ear out of the way that you can have the next few minutes to just talk to our hearts. Thank you for everything, Father. We need to hear from you, Lord. Do so. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
You say, you always say that.
It's always true.
I always mean it.
Amen.
I don't just come here to be seen. I come here to hear from God.
Amen.
And that's why you're here, and that's why we come together.
Amen.
And it's always good to be able to come to the house. I've really enjoyed the last couple of weeks and all that God's been doing.
Yes.
And we talked on last Sunday, one coming in the Spirit, and that was, I had someone tell me after service, he said, that wouldn't be a message that you could preach in most churches, in this message wouldn't be acceptable. And I thought, yeah, that's right. But that's why Brother Childers got in trouble. That's why I'll be in trouble. Because these are controversial truths. And it's what we believe. And us going over these doctrines to help you to understand why Brother Childers was always in the predicaments that he was in. And when he went out to Arizona in 78 and preached to those 400 ministers, they weren't even aware of the fact that Brother Branham had a progressive ministry. And he preached that to those 400 ministers and sent them back around the world looking in their books and trying to find out exactly what this message is. And Brother Perry Green told him after Brother Childers got finished preaching, said, I feel like I need to turn this into, I don't know what to do with the services now. And he said, I feel like I want to turn into a prayer service, because people really didn't know what this message was. And now that we're here and Brother Childers is gone, we've got the same truths that he had, that he got from the angel.
Amen.
We're believing and preaching the same truths. And if it got him in trouble, it'll get us in trouble. So we're not worried about trying to please people. We're trying to do the will of the Lord. And so in order to do the will of the Lord, you're going to be disliked. Everybody's not going to like. If everybody liked me, yeah, vote to the man that everybody speaks well of.
Yeah.
It's almost a good thing that some people speak wrong of, against you. So
yeah.
It proves that at least you're not speaking well of by everybody.
Right.
But when we get to these truths and we talk about them and you bring them out, it helps the bride.
Right.
She's here to want to be balanced. She's here to want to know the truth. So we just keep pressing on. And moving on, and if someone wants it, we'll give it to them. If somebody doesn't want it, that's fine too. I am quite tickled with what I'm doing right now. You know, I'm not, like Sister Renee said, I got a good life. You know, this, if you think about what we've got going on, I don't have no time for gloom and doom. I don't have no time to be down and out. And I won't even spend too much time talking about my flesh.
Come on.
You know, it's already covered and taken care of. You said, well, you need to talk about it. Why? How am I going to edify you by telling you about me?
Amen.
If I tell you about Jesus, that'll get us somewhere.
Amen.
That's what we need to talk about. So when we come here, we want to do that. We want to make sure that we keep. I don't care what I say about me. The last word should be Jesus. and when he finishes and he finished talking through you, it should always wind up about him bragging about himself, because he loves to hear himself talk about himself. So it's good to be here, and I got a message this morning. If you want to turn with me over to 1 John chapter 4, and we want to start here, and it's a good day to be a Christian.
Amen.
You say the world's a mess. It is. But it was told it was going to be that way. The bride shouldn't be surprised. Only time the bride is surprised is when she doesn't have a revelation. When the 120 went up to the upper room, they were surprised when they went up there, but then the Holy Ghost come, and then they weren't surprised. Peter said, "This is that. What are you thinking about? This is what was supposed to happen." And we're looking at the world today and the world order and the chaos that's out there, and they're talking bombs and nuclears and starvation and holding back food from, it's just that man is just cruel. He's just cruel. He's greedy. He's cruel. He only cares about, and I was thinking about this the other day, and I thought about it. I said, you know what? Man is the only animal that does what he does. He's the only animal that does it. A dog will fight, but they just not out just trying to fight to just fight. They're usually trying to protect themselves or protecting something or doing something. And usually when you run across a bear, it's because he's out there trying to forage for food. And either you look like food or he's going to run from you. You know, but it's just not man that kill you just because you're here. Yeah. Go into a school and shoot them for no reason at all. Don't even have to know them. It just, you know, and I remember when Columbine happened. I said then, I said, spirit's been let loose. That'll never go back. And since then, you got schools, fights, and guns, and then you got the politics in it. And it's like, it's common sense. You should do something, but they don't know what to do. Things are so out of balance in the world right now. If you try to fix one thing, the other, it's like the Tetris game. You try to pull one out and say, well, we're going to fix this problem, pull that out. And then you pull the next one out and the whole thing crumbles down. That's where we're at. You look at the politics. I was listening to Brother Branham the other day, and he said the Democrats and Republicans are both wrong. Ain't nobody right. You know, don't get on one side of the boat and think, well, it's not going to sink because I'm on this side. No, it's all going down. It's all going down. Democrats, Republicans, independents, non-voters, voters. They're all going down. Everything's going down but the Word of God. that's really what's going to happen. So don't put your eggs in too many baskets that thinking, well, I'm going to go this way or that way. Oh, yeah, I know it's voting time. Vote however you feel. You know, it's your right. You know, Brother Chills always tried to get me to tell him whether I was a Democrat or Republican. I never would tell him. He said, Brother Moore, I never found out whether you're a Democrat or Republican. I said, you know why, Brother Childers? Because I never told you. You have your suspicions, but I ain't none of your business. But it ain't going to save the world. And all these wars, and it's just, man, it's cruel. It's just cruel. You know, and Putin going in that other country, just taking it. And it's just like, there's no answer to this world order except for the fire. And that's why God said that he's going to get rid of this world cosmos, this world order, because none of it's right and none of it is fit to rule.
No.
Only one's fit to rule is the bride.
That's right.
And she's got to get out of here to be able to do that. You can't even rule in your body that you're in now because you're prejudiced. You got problems. You got issues. You got biases. We all do. Come on, be honest. We all got biases. We all have our ideas. But you know what? When we get rid of this body and this spirit, and when our body and our spirit matches our soul, perfect judgment. Perfect judgment all the way across the board. We won't be worried about none of it. So, amen to that.
Amen.
So, 1 John chapter 4. I want to start here at verse 1. Got about 6 verses I want to read here, and then we'll go from there. Beloved, believe not every spirit. That's what ties in what I just said. I guess I was already preaching, didn't know it. Believe not every spirit.
But try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. My goodness. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word. Title of this message this morning is Greater is He That Is In You.
Amen.
And there's a whole lot packed in those six verses there. And it would take weeks to break it all down. But to just skim over some of them, because really my thought comes out of verse 4. But just to start out with, just because somebody says they're of God, don't mean they're of God.
Amen.
And that's what people don't, they think just because you say, there's a new saying, have a blessed day. They say, have a blessed day. I hear that all the time now. Have a blessed day. You know, that denotes that I'm a Christian. That denotes. It doesn't mean it's true, but it denotes that I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. But it's not about using the terms. See, that's what people try to do when they even come to church. They come in and try to use terms. If they're not born again, they try to use terms that the born again people are using and try to fit in. And it's not about terminology. It's not about getting terms to say, well, I believe this or I believe that. Or, you know, it's not about trying to convince others that you're a believer. It's not even about whether others believe you're a Christian or not.
Right.
You know, a lot of people think you're not a Christian and you are. And then you try to spend more time trying to convince them of who you are. And they don't believe you anyway. That's why I don't spend too much trying to preach to unbelievers. You say, you need to preach to the unbelievers. No, I'm preaching to believers. And that's who I'm talking to. The unbelievers ain't going to hear you anyway. They can't pick it up if they wanted to. There's no place in them. And if you can hear this word and believe this word and take this word in and say amen to it, that's the proof that you're a believer. That's the proof that you're of God. That's the only proof. See, everybody put everything else on it, but only proof of who you are is what you do with the Word of God when it comes forth.
Amen.
Now, if you're sitting in your seat and while I'm preaching, like, I don't believe it's that easy. I don't believe it's this. I believe, but no. The problem's you. Because this thing is easy.
Amen.
It's like falling off a log.
Come on,
you don't have to practice that. Just do it. As believers, the thing I love about a believer is we cannot help but to say amen to the word. That's what I was getting out of the evidence on Wednesday. A believer cannot help but to say amen. I don't practice it. I don't try to make it so. I'm not here trying to convince myself. I'm not even studying hearts and listening real close and is that the word or not? Oh, it rings true to me when I don't even know how to explain it. You know, a believer, when the word comes forth, they know it's right.
Yes.
They may not even know why it's right.
Right.
That's a hard one, because see, if you're not a believer, you won't understand that statement. Because it says, how can you believe in that? And you don't even know how to explain it. How can you believe in that when you don't even know what it is? How can, see, the thing that they don't understand, faith is the substance of things hoped for.
Yeah.
Only believers have real faith like that, Amen. That they can believe in something that they don't even really understand. How in the world can you believe in something that you don't understand? Because it's revealed to you.
Amen.
And when it's revealed to you, you can't, Brother Branham said, this will not be a public show.
No.
You're not going to be explaining to anybody what's going on inside of you. They're never going to understand it. They're never going to see it. You say you see it, and they'll say, okay, Tim, tell me what you see. Well, I really can't explain it. Then you don't see it. No, I see it. It's not my job to explain it. Go talk to the preacher. Come see a man. You see, the thing about a believer, they believe because of who they are. They don't believe because they're not trying to believe it to get it. They can't help but to believe it. It's because it's their very nature. God knows his word, and he believes his word. And when he hears his word, he believes it. So you don't believe every spirit. Because there are prophets out there, but they're false. What makes them a false prophet? They prophesy something that's not true. Majority of the preachers are false prophets. Because they're prophesying things that are not true. They're telling you things that are not true. They're trying to get you to a false water baptism, false Godhead, false denomination. Try to get you to them. Try to get you to join something. Try to get you to be a part of something. If you join our church, then you're ready for heaven. That's false.
Oh, my goodness.
You got to be born again. But they'll get up here on Sunday morning, just like I'm doing, but they'll tell you all kind of things that are false. You got to try the spirits. Don't just go to a church because it's packed. I was looking at some churches this morning. I was listening to some music on, and they was showing the Tabernacle Choir, Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. You know a little bit about that, don't you, sis? Packed. The church, packed. The choir. There's more people in the choir than more in this church.
Amen.
But that's not the proof. You wait till the preacher get up. You wait till he starts preaching.
Right.
If he doesn't preach one God and put God in you, it's false.
Amen.
You say, you can't say it. I got to say it.
Amen.
If he talks about the water baptism and he says, well, it doesn't matter how you get baptized, that's a false prophet.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
You got to try these spirits.
Yeah.
Because we don't go to church just to go to church. We don't go to church just to hear the choir. We don't go to church just because the preacher is a well-known preacher. They pack the houses with people who are well-known. And they get up there and preach false doctrine to them. And they sit there and eat it because they don't think it's important. Try those spirits. Check them out. How are you going to check them out? By the word of God.
That's right.
And if you don't know the word, you won't even know how to test it.
Yes.
The thing about a believer that I love about it, if God gives you one revelation, anything and everything you get will dovetail with that one revelation. That's why you can gobble it up. Because if he gives you one revelation, next thing God tells you is going to tie in with that. If God gives you a revelation and somebody brings you something that don't tie to that, that's a false prophet.
That's right.
You say, well, I'm not smart enough to know if there's a false prophet. No. It ain't about your smartness.
Right.
It's got to dovetail with the Holy Ghost that's in you.
That's right.
If it doesn't, then let it alone.
Right.
You got to try. Every one of us have to try the spirits.
Oh, yes.
You can't just come in and say, well, Pastor Moore say he's a good man, so I guess I'll believe what he's saying. You got to try this for yourself.
That's right.
Jesus said, search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life. Look in the book. That's how you're going to try them.
Yes.
Look in the book. Because there's more false prophets out here than real prophets. And I don't even talk about, I'm not talking major prophets. I'm talking about preachers. I'm talking about minor prophets. When you prophesy, you tell something that's going to happen that has not yet happened.
Right.
This whole bride body prophesies.
That's right.
And what proves your prophecy is that it ties in with the Word of God.
That's right.
Only proof. Somebody can be a false prophet and prophesy right. Because gifts and callings are without repentance.
Right.
So don't get caught up in the gifts and think, well, all of it's false. No, it's not all false.
Right.
There's real prophets out there prophesying things that are 100% right. Talk to Caiaphas. He's a high priest. He prophesied about Jesus, and he didn't even want to.
Right.
Chidal spirits. False prophets are out there. Most churches. Have false prophets. You say, how can you say that? Because they're not bringing you to the Word of God. They're bringing you their theology. They're bringing you their education. They're bringing you a doctor of divinity. They're preaching a lot of stuff that the Bible doesn't even back. And you got to try it. Because this is your salvation. It's not all of ours. It's yours. You got to work it out yourself. If I was preaching false doctrine, I would expect that you'd get up and leave this place.
Amen.
Try it. You say, Brother Moore, I don't agree with you. I don't agree with everything you say. Okay, that's fine. I can't even fault you for it. Because you tried me, and you don't believe I'm of God. And then you need to go find him. Find you a man. Bringing it word upon word. That's what you got. That's your job. That's not my job. I feel like I found me a man that's bringing it word upon word. But your problem is you need to find you a man that's bringing it word upon word. And if it ain't here, go find him. Try the spirits. Even try mine. What am I preaching to you? Is it truth or not? If it's not truth, then don't worry about me. If it is truth, you run into God. And you can't get away from God that easy. You get stuck when you run into God. You're not even accountable until you run into God. But once you run into God, it's on your hands. Caiaphas and all of them had Jesus Christ on their hands. When they took him over to Pilate and they tried to wash their hands. He was okay all the way up until he ran into the Word. And when he ran into the Word, he had to do something with it.
Right.
He had to either turn him loose or hold him. He had to either believe him or not believe him.
Right.
And if it was for Pilate, it's for all of us.
Right.
You got to figure out whether this is God or not. That's not my job. You try me. You hear what's going on. You hear the Word. You see what you see and see if it's of God. If it's not of God, I wouldn't blame you to leave.
Right.
I'd do it myself. But if I'm bringing you word upon word upon word, it's on your hands and you're accountable for what you do with it.
Amen.
Not what I know what I've done with it.
That's right. Thank you, Lord.
Hereby we know the Spirit of God.
Yes.
Every spirit.
Yeah.
Not most. Every. Not some. Every. Every spirit. And the thing I love about this verse is that it's always present tense.
Right,
God always talks in present tense.
That's right, yeah.
Be still and know that I am.
Right.
Moses, tell him, I am sent you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always the present tense.
Yeah.
And when Luther was on the scene, it was the I am. When Wesley was on the scene, it was the I am. When Pentecostal was on the scene, it was the I am. When Brother Branham came on the scene, it was I am. When the bride got a revelation, it was the I am.
Amen.
It's not about what he was. It's not about what he will be. It's what he is. God ain't worried about what he's done. And he's not worried about what he's going to do. What he wants you to see is what he's doing right now. People's problem is they cannot find the I am. They always look at the I was or I will be. But the I am stand right before them and they'll turn him down because it doesn't look like what God looks like to them.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
Oh my
goodness.
Every spirit,
yes,
that confesses that Jesus Christ is. Not coming. See, you can always get on board with God as you find out where he is.
Yeah.
When Jesus was at the well and you went by Sawaya Samaria, if you wanted to find him, you had to get to where he is. If he's walking the shores of Galilee, you have to get down there to Galilee and find out where he is. When he walked up the hill to Calvary, you had to walk up the hill too to find out where he is. When he moved over into the upper room and he wasn't worried about Calvary no more. And wasn't worried about Bethlehem anymore. And a little stable. And wasn't worried about all those other things. Mary and Joseph and all that. He moved to the upper room. Those disciples had to find the I am.
Amen.
Didn't matter what Jesus did to them. Oh, but he fed the 5,000. Oh, he fed the 3,000. Oh, he broke food. And it didn't matter.
Yeah.
It's always the present tense. Amen. You can't even believe God until you find where he is.
Yeah. Amen.
Not where he was. I could go over to Jerusalem right now. Find out where he was.
Yeah.
I can go down there to Azusa Street right now. Find out where he was. But the Bible don't say find out where he was.
No.
Bible says he that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Our biggest problem, we cannot find God in skin. And he's always been in skin.
Yeah.
Only difference between a God in your skin and a God in Luther's skin is you know it and he didn't.
Right.
It was still God. It was still the I am. It was still him. They just didn't know it. The seals weren't open. They didn't have privilege to the word that you have a privilege to. You're sitting here saying, oh, of course it's God in skin. Oh, of course it's the word made flesh. Or of course it's the I am. Only reason you're saying that is because the seals have been open.
That's right.
But you have no more God than what Luther had.
Yeah.
Right? Wow.
But if you would have been Luther's day, you would have to be with the I am.
Right.
You'd have to have been with Luther. If you got with anybody else outside of Luther's message, you miss God.
That's right.
Amen. But he tried to break this down to us to let us see that every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. How many people can you talk to today and ask them, where's Jesus Christ? Just ask them that simple. That's a real simple question. It's only simple because you know the answer. But you ask people today, where's Jesus Christ? You're a Christian. You've been in church, Nicodemus, all your life. Where's Jesus Christ? Some say he's on the throne. Some say he's a spirit hovering above us. Some says he's an anointing that gets on us. But they don't know where he is. He is come in the flesh. But listen to the reverse, converse, other side of this. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. We make it hard, but honestly, it's either God or it's not God.
That's it.
If you can see the I am, you're of God. If you can't see the I am, you're not of God. I'll hurt your feelings telling God ain't even in you. And I'm getting ready to hurt it even more. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is, I love it that he always says is.
Amen.
Is come in the flesh, is not of God, and this is the spirit of Antichrist. Antichrist, anti-word, anti-God. If you don't put God in flesh,
amen.
People are always avoiding 666. They're always avoiding those barcodes. They will definitely not get one of those chips under their skin because they don't want to get the mark of the beast. Do you realize the mark of the beast has been here for 2,000 years? The Antichrist, they say, well, the Antichrist is coming. Antichrist has been here. He was here before you got here.
Amen.
people don't know, and he is so good at his job that he's made people think Antichrist is going to be some man that's going to come and have 666 written on his forehead and is going to put a chip under your skin and cause you to, you know, people to buy something at the store. If it comes to $6.66, oh, give me that pack of gum. I don't want the spirit of Antichrist on me. Satan's got him so deceived. And who did this? False prophets. False preachers. Have them looking for the Antichrist to come. Remember, he is just like God is. Antichrist is. And everybody's trying to get prepared. Armageddon. Oh, Armageddon's coming. Armageddon's coming. Oh, we got to watch out, because that man of sin has already been revealed.
Right.
We know who he is.
Right.
He said, well, my preachers never told me who the man of sin is. False prophets. He don't know. You need somebody that can prophesy and tell you the truth. People don't understand that the Antichrist spirit has been here the whole time. Paul told us. He said, even before I leave y'all, before I got out of here, those false prophets are rising up. Grievous wolves coming in amongst you. Satan doesn't want to stay out of the church. He lost church. That's his biggest draw. He gets more people in the church than he gets in the bar. That'll go over like a lead balloon. He'll pack those churches,
amen,
pack them out, and they have all this Antichrist doctrine,
right,
false doctrine, false word. See, what your job is as a believer is to find out where the truth is.
Amen.
You go somewhere and they're preaching false doctrine, you get out of there and go somewhere else. There's a thousand different doors to go into. If it's not in one door, check another. If not in there, check another. You can go to 1,000 different denominations and you won't find God in one. Revelation chapter 3. Don just said it. He's outside knocking. And he ain't trying to get in denomination. He said, you come out here. You come with me. You open a door to me and I'll sup with you. He ain't trying to join a church. He's not trying to be some big, because he recognizes that that's Satan's trick, his church. A lot of good people. Good people. Majority, I would say, are good people in these churches. Oh, you got some people in there trying to make money. It's a good living. But majority of people go to church because they're trying to be better. It's sad because they're good people, but being taught falsely. And that's what makes it Antichrist. Antichrist is anti-word. Good people. That's why I don't look down at denominational people, and when I'm working with people and they can only go so far, I go as far as I can with them. I don't try to dog them. Oh, y'all ain't going to heaven anyway. We're going in a rapture. You ain't going nowhere. You got false doctrine. You're Antichrist and the devil 666 is leading your church. We don't go into all of that. Love them where they're at. Because there's a lot of foolish virgin out there. There's a lot of people out there that's doing the best they can. If it wasn't for those good people, this world would be worse off than it is.
Amen.
But what makes them anti-Christ simply is anti-word. And it doesn't make them bad people. There's a lot of good people that have the anti-Christ spirit on them. And they will go to the judgment and God will balance them out and find out whether they get to be put on the left or on the right. The ones that are really good, they'll be put on the right. They lived a good life. They trusted God. They just got deceived. That's the only problem they have. The only difference between you and them is they got deceived. Don't look down your nose and think you've done something, because it was just the grace of God that showed you who you are. It wasn't your righteousness. It wasn't how holy you are. It wasn't what you had to bring to the table. You were so smart that you understood who the Antichrist was. Matter of fact, you were hanging out with them too.
Right.
We all were. We all came out of the Antichrist system. When Brother Branham started calling him out, he said, God, where do you want me to take him? He said, back into the Word. We don't have nothing to join here. I'm not trying to get your money. I'm not trying to get you to swear your allegiance to Fairborn Community Tabernacle. If this can't feed you, go find somebody else. Every spirit that doesn't confess that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God and is at Antichrist. And that's that spirit, wherever you heard of it, should come into the world, and even now already is in the world. See, people are thinking he's coming. Read the scripture and you'll see that Antichrist spirit started from the very beginning. Paul was fighting it, and then when he got to Rome, they got to 325 AD. They went over there and they got all the churches together and they got all of the people together and they voted in denomination. The first one was the Catholic Church, and everybody was in there said, we're going to be Catholic. And now you still to this day got the flavor of the Catholic Church. When they get in there and do their Apostles' Creed, they all still say, we believe in the Roman Catholic Church. I never did understand that. Apostles didn't have any creeds. See where this the dogmas come into play. And man shoves his tradition and ideas in there. That's Antichrist. That's anti-word. Apostles didn't have any creed. Matter of fact, Jesus beat the creeds out of them.
Right.
You say, well, you're talking bad about our denomination. No, I'm just being honest. I'm telling you where Antichrist spirit comes in. I'm telling you how it's got to be something more than just you getting a bunch of dogmas together and calling it a church. It's got to be more than just a lodge where people come together and just agree on something. It's got to be the Word of God, or it's not even, God's not even with it.
Right. That's the truth. Right.
He's always been present tense, I am.
Yes.
And you have to have God present tense, I am. You can't just sit there and say, well, we're all going to heaven. No, we all aren't going to heaven. We're not all even going to go in the rapture. There's two resurrections. The first is only for the bride. The next one's going to get everybody else up. It's going to get Antichrist up. It's going to get all the people up. The foolish virgin, all the other classes are going to get up at that second resurrection. All the dead will hear his voice. But right now, the only one's going to hear the voice is somebody who can see the I am present tense.
Amen.
You all take for granted that you can believe this. You all take for granted that you can see this. Like Sister Renee said, thank God for ears. Everybody can't hear this. You think everybody can understand this if you just come here. No, you could come here and not hear this.
Amen.
It's not about just being in the building. You have to have representation of God himself in you. And if he's not in you, you can't pick this up no matter how it's preached.
Amen.
Thank God for an ear to hear. Do you realize in every age, he always ended up saying, he that has an ear to hear. Why? There was always a present tense I am on the scene. In every age, it was him. In every age, he was here. In every age, he was preaching. I am. Tell him I am sent you. But everybody couldn't hear it. Everybody can't hear this. You would think we preach it so simple that nobody would miss it. But it's not about your education. You must be born again. God's got to personally deal with you. And if he doesn't do that, you're not going.
Amen.
You'll be dealing with that spirit of Antichrist. And the only reason that I can say that you would have the spirit of Antichrist on you is because Antichrist is anti-word. If you believe every word, you will be born again.
Right.
You can't miss it.
Right.
It's not like, well, I believe everything, but why aren't I born again? Either you're born again, don't know it, or you're not born again, and you're holding on to some tradition that's keeping him from quickening it to you.
Right.
Don't sit here and just keep your tradition. You must be born again. You got to die to your thinking. You got to take up the word and take the word and put it in you. David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I might not disbelieve you." The only way we can do this right is to take every word in. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. That right there is my point. You got to have something in you. And people are, I don't know. They almost don't know that scripture's in there, I think. They say, "Oh, well, Satan's had me down. Well, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't know if this for me, y'all just go on without me." There should be something on the inside of you that drives you. Amen. A car is driven from the inside out. If you're going to move for God at all, it's because there's something on the inside of you. It's not because I'm making you do it, or somebody's making you do it, your husband making you serve God, or your wife is making you serve God, or the church will hold something against you. No, you're going to serve God because you want to.
Right.
It's always been that way. Down through the ages, they all served God because they wanted to. We just now know. We just know now. I mean, I don't know. I'd say if we didn't know as much as we do, if the seals hadn't been opened and we just blindly did this thing, you know, it wouldn't have changed it. You still would have served God. But you just wouldn't have known what you know now.
Right.
I know I love God.
Amen.
I know I come from God.
Amen.
I know God has revealed himself to me. I know he's opened up the seals. I know he's revealed his entire plan.
Yes.
Does that all make you serve God? No. I serve him because I love him.
Right.
I mean, it's good to know all these things, but if you only knew one thing, if you only had one revelation, if God only revealed one thing to you, you got enough right there for body change.
Right.
Those 11th hour workers, they didn't work in a field all day. Those last minute people.
Yeah.
They didn't do hardly nothing. I get jealous. Y'all coming in here at the last minute. You ain't done a thing. You picked up your hoe and it's like, you heard the whistle. Whoop, time to go home. It's like, y'all ain't done nothing. Brother Children slaved over this thing, worked hard on this thing. Brother Brandon worked hard on this thing. I know I've worked hard on this thing. And y'all come at the last minute. Like I said, dinner's cooked. Y'all just sit down and eat. Ain't I got nothing to do. But that's okay.
Amen.
I'm not mad about it. I'm glad that it's easy for you. I'm glad that you didn't have to try to figure out what the new birth is. I'm glad you didn't have to worry about, oh, do I have enough? Did I read enough books? Did I read the Bible enough? Did I do my life? Is my life good enough? And I'm glad you don't have to worry about all that, because that stuff was work. Don, we worked. But we are not like them. We are children of God. We know who we are. And we've overcome the world.
Yes.
People think, oh, you overcome the world, that means you don't do nothing, you don't have no problems, and that ain't what it's saying. It means you know who they are. You know the Spirit, and you ain't dealing with them. You ain't worried about them. We've overcome them. I'm not looking at my rapture saying, oh, I hope we get enough people to get a body change. No, I know it's coming. Why? The word said it. I'm not trying to wish things. I'm not even worrying about what the government looks like, what the world looks like, the world conditions look like. None of that has any effect on me. I'm ready for the rapture right now. I don't need one other. I don't need one other doctrine. I don't need one other revelation. I don't need to do anything else. I am ready for the rapture right now.
Amen.
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 I've overcome the world. You say you have? Yes, I have.
Yes.
You overcome the world.
Yes.
That's the proof of it, is that you hear where the word is.
Amen.
Amen.
They are the world. Remember I read last Sunday, I said, they are the world and we're not from this world. That's what Jesus said. Here it is again. They are of the world. Therefore, they speak of the world. And the world heareth them. Oh, you want to get them going. Let the Pope say something. I can say something, and y'all don't even hear me. The Pope says something, and the whole world stops. They're the world. And let them speak. The world hears them. We are of God. He that knoweth God hears us. See? There you go. Shows you there's not very many people that really know God. I don't have the audience that the Pope has. I only have a few. And some of y'all sitting there like, I think he's right. I hope he's right. No, I am right.
Amen.
We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God hears not of us. That's why, you know, I don't have to worry about it. I preach the truth, and it sifts through.
Yes.
And everything that's not of God falls through. And that's why I said I'm not preaching to three kinds of believers.
No.
I'm preaching to believers.
Right.
I'm watching believers.
Amen.
I'm listening to believers.
Amen.
I'm looking at believers.
Yeah.
You say, well, you got to be careful because you got all three in your congregation. I don't have to be careful. I preach to believers.
Amen.
Everything else gets sifted out.
Yeah.
By the time they got to the upper room, they lost the 5,000. They lost the 3,000. They lost everybody else. And all that ended up sifting through was 120. And 119 weren't the ones that got the Holy Ghost, and one was sitting there saying, I'm an unbeliever. No, all 120 got the new birth.
Amen.
And I'm preaching to believers here. I'm not looking at y'all like, oh, y'all don't believe. No, I'm sifting all the time.
Right.
And people are falling out all the time. Falling by the wayside all the time. Can't come to church no more. Oh, I can't believe this. Oh, I can't believe that. This has got me. Oh, that got me. And they got all kind of excuses why they can't come to church.
Right.
All kind of excuses why they can't believe no more. Oh, this message is this. This message holds me back. Oh, the people at that church. This church does this. Sif, sif, sif. Sif, sif, sif.
Yeah.
And they think they're holding us back by walking out. You don't hold me back by walking out. All he had was 120. The most Jesus did, he ended up with 120. He sifted until he got 120. I'm sifting until I get... Somebody said 20. I didn't say 20. If you're lucky. Brother Branham, when he preached to all those thousands and thousands, he looked at Billy Paul and said, Billy Paul, how many of you think that really believed what I preached? And Billy Paul was like, oh, Brother Branham, they're all getting it. Oh, Brother Branham, everybody. He said, I can count them on my hand. I can count them on my hand. Now that the seals are open and the bride body is able to receive this, I got more than five.
Amen.
I got it better than Brother Branham had it.
Amen.
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 At least I got people that believe what I preach.
Amen.
Yes, you do.
The question I have to ask this morning is, what is in you? Because Scripture says, greater is he that's in you. What's in there? What makes it greater? Who's the he?
Right.
John chapter 16.
Amen, Lord.
Flip over there real quick. John chapter 16, verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou hast given me, I have kept. The only one he kept are the ones that were given him.
That's right.
The only ones I'm keeping today is the one that he gives me. And none of them is lost. Not one. People look around and say, well, y'all don't have a bunch of numbers. That's all right. Jesus didn't have a bunch of numbers. No one was lost but the son of perdition. And the only reason he held on to him, he knew he was a devil the whole time. He watched him out of the corner of his eye the whole 3.5 years. Son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. My. Let's see here. Oh, am I in the right chapter? No, I'm in the wrong chapter. I'm in 17. Go back over to 16. I think that ain't what I'm talking about. 16:12. I have yet many things to say unto you. See, I can preach anywhere in this Bible. I ain't stuck on no scripture. I ain't stuck on stupid. Anywhere from Genesis to Revelation, just give me a scripture. I'll preach a message on it. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them. And nobody even said nothing. Brother Lockett, they let me sit up here and read the wrong one.
Amen.
But it's still good reading.
Yeah.
Verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, the word, that shall he speak. If you speak anything other than the word, then he's not in there.
That's right.
At least he's not speaking. He might be in there, but you might be listening to your flesh. Or you might be going by your thinking. Because when God speaks, he's going to speak according to his word every time. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. That Spirit of truth moves into you. It doesn't just hover over you. It just doesn't hang around you. It's not there to just give you good morals and try to tell you good things. He literally moves inside of you. And that's what people don't understand. It's God living in there. Says he that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. Who is he? It's God himself. We forget that sometimes. We look at circumstances. We look at situations. We look at problems. We look at shortcomings. We look at all these other things, but we forget who's in there. And if he's in there, he's greater than all your problems, greater than all your troubles, greater than all your shortcomings, greater than anything you could possibly throw at him.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And it's always been that way. We just didn't have the privilege to have the opening of the seals to understand this. But now that we have an opening of the word and the seals to us, we should know who we are, and the devil should be having a hard time with you. You shouldn't be having a hard time with him. He should be having a hard time with you, because you know who's in there. Greater is he that's in you. Who's in there? What's in there? Put the word in there. And when the word is in there and you know it in this hour, and you're going to be down and out about anything, oh, I know we go through problems in life, but you know what? Problems are opportunities for God to show you how much you can overcome your problem.
Amen.
Problems are just reasons for God to bless somebody else with your life.
Amen.
Problems are just things that God uses to bring himself out of you. Problems are a way that God squeezes you to get his glory.
Yeah. Oh. Amen.
There it is. He's there. He's there. He's always there.
Amen.
The scripture says, I glory in my infirmities. Because when I get squeezed, what comes out of me is what's inside of me. You put pressure on me and God comes out. Some people get pressure put on them and God doesn't come out of them. They get pressure put on them and the devil come out of them. Whatever's in you going to come out. Adversity brings God out if he's in there. Problems bring God out if he's in there. Cancer brings God out if he's in there. Sickness brings God out if he's in there. Greater is he that's in me. But we forget that sometimes. We look at the circumstances. We look at what the doctor says. We look at what society says. We look at what we say about ourselves. But greater is he that's even in me than I am. When I deny myself, he doesn't deny me. He still remains faithful. He still stays with the word. He still stands right there.
Amen.
Never leave me nor forsake me.
Amen.
Greater is he that's in you.
Yes.
What's going on in there? When that word comes forth, as the preaching's going forth, what are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? Because every time the word comes forth, you should get stronger.
That's right.
You should get stronger. Because the word is him. And I've never seen in scriptures where he ever talked negative about himself. I never saw in the scriptures where he said it was too much for me. I never saw in the scriptures where he said, Satan's got me this time. Even when they hung him on the cross, he wasn't there trying to say, oh, let me down. He said, not my will but thine be done. Because he had more work to do on the other side of death. We get bogged down because our jobs cause us problems. We get bogged down because our wife told us we're talking foolish. We get bogged down because our husband don't do what we want him to do. We get bogged down because our kids ain't following the word. We get bogged down because you don't do what you think you need to do. But greater is he that is in you. If the word is in you, that word will overcome anything you want to overcome. I never put a limit on what God can do. I never put a limit on how far God can go. God can heal cancer. God can put an eye where there is no eye. He can put an ear where there is no ear. We limit God by unbelief. But we need to stand up and let the word that's in us come out of us. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We've got something. Who's in there? I ain't talking about your flesh. I ain't talking about your spirit. But who's living in that house? And if God's living in that house, why can't you overcome? What hinders you from taking what God's already promised you?
That's right.
Mm.
Amen. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord.
And if we are Christians of this day, let's receive Jesus Christ in our heart. And he is the word. Don't deny any of it. Say it's the truth. And place it in your heart. Watch the fruit of the Spirit upon you. And fulfill every promise that is made in the Bible. God wants to fulfill his word, and he doesn't have any hands but yours. Any hand but mine and yours. He don't have any eyes but mine and yours. He has no tongue but mine and yours. I am the vine, ye are the branches. The branches bear the fruit. The vine energizes the branch. That's the life that's worthy. What's in you? What kind of life that's living in there? Because if he's in there, he will come out. He will manifest. That's what I said. I don't worry about you getting a new birth. If you follow the prescriptions, you will be born again. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Not in some other name. You follow that prescription, he said, and ye shall. That's a promise. That's like Jay said Wednesday, and like Jeremiah said, shall is a must. Shall will happen. Shall, that's the word of God. And don't sit there doubting in your mind whether you're born again or not. If you follow the prescription, then it's yours. You just got to take him at his word. We're taking his body chain as his word. We take our new birth at his word.
Amen.
You're not born again because you feel like it. You're born again because the word of God said it.
Yes.
I've repented. I've been baptized.
Yes.
I've received the word.
Yes.
So the Holy Ghost is here.
Yes. Amen. Here to stay.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, Lord.
We let Satan battle us too much. He battles you in your mind. He battles you in your body. And because you're hurting in your body, you think you haven't been healed. But the Bible says, by his stripes, I'm healed.
By his stripes.
It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what it feels like. It doesn't matter what the doctor says. It doesn't matter what society says. It doesn't matter what the majority of people say. If God's word said it, I'm going to stand there if I die. I'll stand on his word if I die.
Amen.
Because I'm not believing this because I feel it. I believe it because he said it.
Amen.
When I pray as a believer. God, you said by your stripes.
Amen.
I'll hold it right there.
Right.
You say, but I don't see it. Still hold it right there.
Still.
My family hadn't come in. Still hold them right there.
Right.
My children won't listen. Still hold them right there.
Yes.
Don't give up on your kids. Don't give up on your loved ones.
Right.
Don't give up on your family.
Right.
You got enough God right in you right now to take them all with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You say, but I want to see them in the house. Then hold it right there.
Yeah.
You say, well, they say that I'll never be back. Don't worry about what they say. I said the same thing when I was 15. I said the same thing when I was 14. I wasn't going to be back in the house of God ever. Let alone knowing about a message. I wouldn't think about no message. I didn't want to go to denominational church. So don't worry about what your kids say. Don't worry about what it looks like. Don't want to let you just hold the token over your loving because that's what we've been commissioned to do. Now let God work out the details. You say, well, I don't know if this is going to work. You don't have to know. It's God's timing. God takes care of it. Matthew 28. Here he is talking to his disciples. Well-known scripture. But sometimes we don't pay much attention to scripture. Matthew 28, starting at verse 17. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted, as always. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And this is after his resurrection. It was all his. He owned it all. All that God was, he poured into Christ. But that wasn't the end of it. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. You say, ha ha, gotcha. I got scriptures to baptize in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You need more than scriptures. You need a revelation.
Amen.
What is the name of the Father?
Amen.
What is the name of the Son?
Amen.
What's the name of the Holy Ghost?
Yes,
what's one name under heaven given by men where men must be saved?
Amen.
It's more than just reading this book. You got to understand what he's saying. There's nobody in the book of Acts or anywhere else that after they heard Jesus say this, went out and baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They baptized in the name of Jesus Christ from that day forward.
Yes.
When did it change? 325 AD, when the Catholic Church started denomination. They took out water baptism. They put in sprinkling. They all used to baptize.
They did.
And up taking it out because they didn't want you to have to worry about bringing an extra set of clothes to church. Just stick your head over that fountain. A couple of sprinkles on you. But before then, they immersed you in water in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. I am with you.
Yes.
But I thought the Holy Ghost was. He is. But I thought God was. He is. But I thought Jesus was. He is.
Right.
I will go with you always, and even unto the ends of the world. He was going to be in us.
Yes.
Greater is he that's in you. It's God in you. Doing these things. It's not us. See, that's what we lose track of. We think that we make these plans. We do these things. And we're not sensitive to the leadership of God. When God moves your life, it's you know, if you're ever in a boat, a rudder, it's not all that big. Is it, Doug? It's not that big. But you know, that rudder, it can turn the whole boat around. It takes it where it needs to go. And just a little adjustment. A little adjustment. I've driven Doug's boat before. And all it takes is a little adjustment, and that boat will turn.
Well,
just a little adjustment, it turns. All he should be having to do with us is just give us little adjustments. Just listen for him. He'll tell you where to work. He'll tell you who to marry. He'll tell you who to live with. He'll tell you how to raise your kids. He'll tell you how to live your life. He'll tell you what to pick up. He'll tell you what to lay down. He's in there. Let him lead and guide you. He wants to so badly. But we don't believe, number one, that voice is his. We think, oh, that's just me. Oh, I used to think that. And I used to always double check and always double, just never know. Anymore, wherever. And if you look at my life, it's so unorganized. I mean, it's like my accountant gets so mad at me. She tells me, Nate, every time you get a good job, you leave it. Because I'm just, I ain't worried about money. I ain't worried about retirement. I had a realtor dealing with me. And he told me, Nate, if you had yourself like an IRA, because I never paid any attention to none of that stuff. I could care less. I went to work and I thought the rapture was coming. So they said, you got to have insurance sign here. You got to do this sign. I just did it. He said, Nate, if you had an IRA, you can get some money, pull some money out of that, and you can buy you a new house, another house or something. I said, oh, I don't have none of that. And I went home and looked in my file, and I happened to have one. Didn't even know I owned it. It's like, oh, I guess I do have one. I don't know that stuff. I ain't worried about life, IRAs, 401ks, retirement. I wasn't worried about none of that because Jesus is coming, you know. I thought that at 20. And now I'm 62. Jesus is still coming, but now I'm getting concerned about IRAs. But my life has been such that wherever God wants me to go, I'll go. If I have to leave a job, I'll leave it. Yeah. If I have to lay some friends down, I'll lay them down. Right. If I have to leave friends, I'll leave them. I'll do whatever I need to do because I got a rudder that's leading my life. And I've learned to listen to him. When people think I shouldn't, I still listen to him. And you've got a rudder in your life, and you need to learn to listen to that thing.
Amen, Lord.
Because God will make your home what it needs to be. He'll make your life what it needs to be. He'll make your job what it needs to be. Because he's in there. Amen. And he wants to lead you. Oh, we all won't do the same thing. That's why you need to listen to God. You need to listen to God for yourself. And can't nobody tell you any different. Because as long as you listen to God, you'll be right where the word is. Because he will not take of himself, speak of himself. He'll take of mine, the word, and he'll show it to you. So don't worry about what people think. Don't worry about what family thinks. Don't worry about what friends think. You just, they ain't going to understand you. They didn't understand Jesus. Jesus said, hey, why don't all 12 of y'all go get a loaf of bread? Meet me up here at Samaria when you get there. They don't understand. They said, Jesus, all of us? Yeah, all of y'all go. I'm tired. I need y'all to go away for a little bit. Go, it's all y'all go shopping. I mean, they didn't understand him. He would go one place. He'd go another. He'd move. He was moved by the Spirit. And it's no different than you.
That's right.
The same God that was in him is the same God that's in you.
Yes.
The same leadership that was in him is the same leadership that's in you. And what you should do is yield yourself to that God that's in there, that's right. Because greater is he that's in you. He know what he wants out of you. You don't even know.
That's right.
You just move. You just move and let him have it. Let him direct your life. Let him move your life. And you know what you'll find out? Your life will be different than everybody else's you ever met. It'll be different than anybody else. You'll be doing things you'll think, why am I doing this? Many times I looked up, I got in a situation, and I didn't know why I was there. And then next thing I know, somebody's coming, and they're just bearing their heart to me or doing something. I'm like, it almost makes me mad. It's like, God, you tricked me again. I like going down to South Carolina. That guy, I got tricked in that. I want to take y'all on a trip, and before I know it, you got this big meeting, and everybody under the sun's there, but it turned out to be a blessing.
Yeah.
But it wasn't what I planned. No. I was just going by the leadership. Right. I told the brothers, I was eating with some brothers, and I said, I want to go down to South Carolina in October. And I didn't even talk to Fred. I just, that's their little. And I called Fred, and I said, Fred, I think I'm coming down with my church in October. And he said, October? That's when I normally have my annual meetings, but I haven't had them since COVID. He said, well, I guess we're having a meeting this year. All because of a little turn. But you learn to listen to that voice.
Yes.
And it's right every time.
Amen.
And when it matches the word, you don't even need to get a second opinion. That's why sometimes y'all call me, Pastor, I need you to help me to decide. I want to buy this car. And I think that I just want to know what you think about it. I'm thinking, can you afford it? Yes, I can afford it. Is it going to put you under? No. Is it going to get you out of church? No. Then why are you calling me? You got God in you.
Come on.
Greater is He that's in you. You should have that leadership. My goal is not to get you to hold on to me. My goal is to get you to hold on to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm not even trying to get you to hold on to William Branham.
No.
A lot of people want to point you to William Branham. I'm not pointing you to William Branham. I'm pointing you to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Put that word in there, and that word will lead and guide you.
Amen.
I'm jumping around here. See, once it gets in there, Romans 6. Once it gets inside of you, you have a job to do. You have to decide if you want to listen to him. He ain't going to make you listen to him. That's what you got to understand. People think that I got the Holy Ghost, so now I got to listen to God. No, you don't. I got to change. No, you don't. He ain't going to, no. That ain't what he's about. Romans chapter 6, verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. I like the way he worded that. Your mortal body. Not your soul, because your soul cannot sin once you're born again. Sin is unbelief. Don't act like an unbeliever in your flesh. You can. That's what Don said one time, that sister, you're acting like an unbeliever. Why? And what I'm looking at in your flesh is unbelief. So you can't have sin or unbelief in your mortal body. So don't do that. That you should obey the lust thereof. Neither yield your members or instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. Don't waste your time with the devil's program. Listen to that that's within you. Because he's in there. He wants to lead you. He wants to push you in the right direction. And he'll tell you what you need to do. But it's your choice. I don't know. People think that when they get saved that it's all perfect. That's when your battle starts, buddy. That's when you have to decide whether you're going to serve God or not serve God. That's when you'll go back and forth, and you know what? The believers, they're going to serve God. You will. Because if you're not a believer, it doesn't matter how much you come to church, you're going to end up going somewhere anyway. Yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. God wants to use you. God wants to be in you and lead you. He wants you to do the right thing. God does not want you to do the wrong thing. Contrary to what people think I believe.
That's right.
I do not want you to do the wrong thing.
That's right.
I want you to do the right thing. I teach you to do the right thing. Do you do the right thing? No. Sometimes the answer is no. Yeah, I didn't think I was going to say no. Yeah, I was sort of shocked. No. Sometimes you don't do the right thing. Sometimes I don't do the right thing. I ain't going to lie to y'all. Some people will. They'll lie to you and tell you, oh, yeah, no, it's going to do. No, you're going to battle. You're going to have to surrender your life. If God's going to be in your life, you're going to give up something. You're going to give up a lot. They think that we don't serve God. Oh, we give up a lot to serve God. You just don't know. It's awful nice in California this time of year. Florida, Texas. Can I keep naming? And then you're going to get on me and act like I don't love God? Oh, my goodness, I love God. I really love the Lord. For sin, verse 14, shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. We've got grace, but we're not just out here trying to. If I want to live like the world, like Jeremiah said, I could do a whole lot worse than what I'm doing. I'm not trying to let sin reign in my mortal bodies. I want to serve God. I want to please God. I want to be so sensitive to God that if he tells me to do something, I'll do it without any complaint.
Amen.
What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. See, people think that's yes. I'm talking about people that even go to this church that aren't here today. They think the answer is yes. You know, but no, God forbid. No, don't let sin reign in your mortal bodies. Don't let unbelief learn. He wants you to be the best you could be.
Amen.
Like the army says. He wants you to be all that you can be.
Right.
People think we just let y'all do anything.
Right.
We don't get away with just doing anything. And what they don't understand is how much we do love God. They don't see that. They don't understand that we do this because we want to do this. Some people do it because they have to. They'll tune in on our internet just to see what we're doing. Why? You don't believe me anyway. Get off of here. Go somewhere else. Because all they're doing is getting on there to see if they can find something they can talk about. They're sitting there right now saying, oh. But we're trying to serve God. We love God, don't we, church?
Amen.
Okay, I want them to hear y'all too.
Yes.
Amen.
That's right.
Know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are. I'm glad he didn't say his son you are. A servant is somebody that's just hired. It's a hired hand. It's somebody that serves. If you're serving Satan, you can be a child of God and serve Satan.
Right.
We're not trying to do that. His servants you are, to whom you obey, whether it's sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. You can do either one. You can do either one. People think, oh, hallelujah, I got the Holy Ghost, I'm heaven bound. You got work to do.
Right.
You got work to do. You're going to make your calling and salvation sure.
Yeah.
And the devil's going to try you. He's going to put sickness on you. He's going to wreck your home. He's going to break up your household. He's going to separate your kids. He's going to take your job. He's going to do all these things. Then he's going to put a problem on you that you can't get away from. And after he does all that, he's going to sit back and say, now, what you going to do? Church, what you going to do? What are you going to do? Ask yourself, who's in here? What are you going to do? That's for me and my house. If I lose my job, my kids never speak to me again, my family go another way, my job, my own, name it. As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. Why? I can't help it. It's just in me because he's in here. And he will help me overcome your problem. Now, Romans 8 and 1. I'm trying to wrap this up. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Who's in there? He's in there. And if he's in there, there's no condemnation. None. Zero. That's what you need to tell the devil. Oh, you don't do this right. So? Oh, you don't have that right. So? What are you going to do about it, Satan? Who are you going to tell? You going to tell God? You can't tack it to me because my soul is God.
Right.
And there's no sin there. Sin is applied to the soul, not the house, to the soul. And if this in here is God, you can't not touch it, Satan. He said, well, you're not good enough. You don't know enough. You're just out here by yourself. No, I'm with Jesus.
Right. Amen.
And he's in me. And everywhere I go, he goes. And everything I do, so there's no condemnation. Don't condemn. Don't even come at me with that stuff. Go over there and sit down. There's no condemnation. You say, well, oh, I feel condemned. You know what? When you feel condemned, that's the devil. He's trying to see if he can get away with it because you don't have no place to put condemnation. But if he can convince your mind that you got condemnation, that's the best he could do. But then all that's going to do is make you feel bad. I ain't going to change your soul. You'll just walk around like this. You know, you won't testify. You won't sing. You won't clap your hands. You won't hardly come to church. You won't hardly do nothing because you're like, But it ain't going to change your soul. And you need to understand that, church. Right. God's greater than your heart.
Amen.
And you sit there condemning yourself when there's no condemnation according to Romans 8 and 1. You should start singing it. And now there's no condemnation. Jesus' blood has bear of it. Oh, God signed my pardon. One day at Calvary, he who the Son set free is free indeed. Start singing that to the devil. Start singing it, hum that to him a little bit. Put that in his one ear. Let him hear from God. Put that in his pipe and let him smoke it. There is therefore now no condemnation. Why? Because he's in there. There is no place to put sin, Satan. I cannot sin. The seed of God remains in me, and I cannot sin. My, greater is he that's in you. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made. That's created. That's not just patched up. That's just not. As a lot of people say, set me free. I wasn't set free. I was created free. I was made free. A new creation in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, the law can't keep you, people. I can put all the law on you I want. I can make you do all kind of things. I make you jump through hoops and everything else. But it's just the law. And it's weak. And it only affects the flesh. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in who?
Amen.
Who's in you?
Amen.
The righteousness of God is in you. Then the only thing, if you talk about holiness, what makes you holy is the God that's in you.
Amen.
It's not the holy mountain, it's the holy God on the mountain. It's not the holy Christian, it's the holy God in the Christian.
Amen.
Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Brother Branham said, but there's no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Then you realize that you've overcome. People, you've already overcome. Do you know you overcame at your new birth?
Amen.
We're all trying to get over. We're all trying to overcome. Oh, I'll do better. Oh, I'll do better. You've already come. You're already overcome. He moved in there. Greater is He that's in there. Then you realize that you've overcome. And you know He is a devil. You can't say I got sickness and I don't believe it's a sickness. Oh, yes, it is a sickness. See, we try to lie to ourselves. Say, I got COVID, but I don't have COVID. I really don't have COVID. That's the devil trying to make me think, no, you're sick. You got COVID. Stay home. Oh, I don't really have cancer. I'm claiming my healing. I don't even want to go to the doctor. Like the one brother says, he's waiting for God to touch him. He's not going to go to the doctor for his back. He's waiting for God to touch him. That's very noble of him. And I'm not even opposed. If you got the faith, stay right there. But God has doctors that He uses. People think if they take a pill or if they go to a doctor, they're the devil. God gave the doctors the know-how. He let them in His little laboratory to learn just enough to take care of you. And you say, well, I don't want to do that. I want to have a testimony that God healed my back. Okay. You stay right there. You can't say, I got sickness and I don't believe it's a sickness. Oh, yes. It's a sickness. You got cancer. You don't believe it's a cancer. It is a cancer. It's a cancer. But remember, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. You must realize that the Holy Spirit that's in you has already overcome this thing.
Amen.
And He's in you. And you can overcome by Him. That's exactly sensible. It's exactly the way the scripture is written. Overcoming. You've got to realize that it is a real problem. I have real trouble. You have real sickness. You have a real need. But greater is He that's in you. You got everything you need to overcome with. You do. It's already in you. So you don't have to sit around and wait on God. God's already there. You talk to Him. You talk to Him. I woke up a couple of times this morning, somebody I'm praying for, I prayed for him, and I went back to sleep, and I woke up again, and I prayed for him again, and I went back to sleep, and I woke up again, and I prayed for him again, and my thought said, well, you already prayed for him, but I'm still holding right there. It's a real sickness. It really needs God to touch. It really needs God to move, and I'm going to ask and ask and ask, because His Word says, by His stripes I'm healed. I'm not going to act like it doesn't exist. It does exist. But God exists.
Yes.
And God's in here.
Yes.
And God's a healer.
Yes.
He is a keeper of His word.
Yes.
Matthew 18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Why did He say unto us? Why did He put it in us?
Yeah.
Because He's in there.
Right.
Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth is loose in heaven. Brother Branham, I won't read the quote, but Brother Branham said, he's not talking about what he says. He says what you say. Because you got to understand, you're carrying God in here.
Amen.
He is actually living in your house.
Amen.
Do you really believe that?
Yeah.
He will talk to you from you.
Yeah.
He will direct your path from you. People got a lot of confidence. They call the pastor to find out his direction. But how about the God that's in you to give you direction?
Amen.
The same God that's in me is in you. If you eat the same word I'm eating, then the same God that answers my prayer should answer yours. Oh, I know about coming for a second opinion and maybe having the pastor put a word on something that's real big, but I don't need to be there at your shoe store when you try to figure out where to buy a pair of black shoes or brown. I don't need to be there to find out whether you need to come to church or not. I don't need to answer those questions because the God that's in you should be telling you what you need to do. Greater is He that's in you. Okay. I was trying not to read this, but I'm going to read it. What did He do? He set out and He conquered sickness. there could be no sickness around him. Talking about Jesus. Whenever sickness was, he conquered it. What did he do after he conquered it? He gave us the keys. Amen. Saying, whatever you bind on earth, I bind in heaven. That's the royal seed of Abraham. His promise. The Holy Ghost in us now with the keys, holding it to sickness. He conquered sickness. Sickness cannot stand in his presence. Amen. You hear that, church?
Amen.
It can't stand in your presence. It's got to go.
Yeah.
And he said that he gave us the keys to do the same thing. Conquer sickness. Whatever you bind on earth, bind in heaven. Also temptation. He was tempted in every manner like we were. What did he do? He conquered it. And what did he say? What did he say to do, to us? Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He conquered sickness for us. He conquered temptation for us. Broke down the gates. Took the keys from the tempter. He handed it over to the believer. Of Abraham's seed, and said, if he tempts you, resist him, and he will flee from, he will flee from you.
Amen.
You think we were out trying to outrun the devil? No, not now we're living in. We know who we are, and the devil is fleeing from us.
Right.
He doesn't like it that you call yourself God. He doesn't like it that you're claiming the healing. He doesn't like it that you're putting the word out there on him and letting him know where you stand. And you're saying, it is written, Satan.
There you go.
He don't like it, but he has a run from you. He conquered both death and hell. He rose up on the third day saying, I have overcome, and because I live, ye live also. Oh, what a promise. That's the seed of Abraham. He conquered the grave, rose up on the third day for our justification. When he rose up, he was our justification. People are trying to get justified when he's already justified us. He's already sanctified us.
Yes.
He's already put the gifts back in the body.
Yes.
He's already restored the word. He didn't leave anything for us to do but accept what he's already done.
Yes.
You got it already made.
Yes.
We got it made and don't even know it.
Yes.
He ain't asking you to get justified. You're already justified.
Yes.
He's not asking you to sanctify yourself. You're already sanctified.
Right.
He don't even want you to have the gifts to restore because it's already restored.
Yes.
What did he leave for you? Nothing.
You
got everything right at your fingertips. And only thing left is for the bride to get the debt up. And you're going to do that because he already said it. Greater is he that's in you. What's in you is greater than your house. Your flesh is going to have to move aside because there's a new house coming. There's a body not made by man's hands waiting for me. And this flesh has got to move aside. Because greater is he that's in here. Now we're more than conquered through him that loved us and gave his life for. Being the royal seed of Abraham with the same spirit of God in us that was in him, we are more than conquerors. Every gate has been conquered for us. You don't even have to worry about the gate of the body change. It's already done. It's already conquered. You don't have to worry about the marriage supper. It's already conquered. All we're doing is planning out what's already paid for. Every gate has been conquered for us. The only thing we have to do is possess it. There you go. It's already conquered. Sickness is conquered. Death is conquered. Hell is conquered. The grave is conquered. Everything is conquered. And we hold the keys by his grace. Are you afraid to stick the key? Are you afraid to stick them in the lock and say, I come in the name of Jesus Christ? Ask the Father anything in my name. I love him. This is what's living inside of you, bride. You've got God himself in you. You conquered. He's conquered everything. And now you're walking through the world with the word of God in you. God himself walking on the face of the earth, conquering everything he comes across.
Yes.
Everything, every trial, every trouble, every sickness, every pain, God's already conquered it. And all we're doing is receiving what he's already done.
Amen.
Mark chapter 11, if you say this mountain, move,
It got to go. I won't tell you, but I won't read it, but that's where it is. Colossians chapter 1, to whom God has made known, verse 27, what the riches of his glory of this mystery among you Gentiles, which is Christ in you.
Yes.
Christ in you.
Yeah.
Greater is he that's in you because it's Christ in you.
Amen.
It's not just an anointing on you. It's God himself living in you.
Yes.
And if he's living in you, he's already overcome everything. And now all you do now is just walk around here as God on earth, the word made flesh. It's living in you, his own life. Notice then.
Amen.
We become part of him.
Yes.
As you are the veil that veils him.
Right.
That's what's going on inside of you.
Wow.
It's just not an anointing. God himself is living in your house.
Amen.
You're veiling him. You are part of him. As long as Christ is in you, as Christ was in God, because God was in him, made him God. Because God was in Christ, it made him God. And because Christ is in you, it makes you God. And as Christ is in you, the hope of glory, you become part of Christ.
Yes.
He that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also. See, you become a part of Christ as long as Christ is hid in you. He is hid in you.
Right.
Then it's veiled to the unbeliever. But you know he is in you.
Yep.
You know.
Right.
You know.
Amen.
Nobody else can know. You went in that little room yourself.
Yeah.
You dealt with him yourself. He's talked to you himself. Nobody else can know this but you.
Amen.
Then it's veiled to the unbeliever, but you know he's in you. And you are templing Christ in behind the veil, the skin. Then behind, because of this veil, the veil again in human flesh hides God, the word, from the unbeliever. You become the living word of God. That's who you are. And you being the living word of God is God veiled in your skin. Not in some other skin. It's God in you. The greater is he that's in you, church. Don't forget that. You're veiling God in there. And as you listen to him, he will guide your path through everything you go through in life. You say, well, I won't have any problems. Oh, you're going to have problems. Oh, I'm not going to have any shortcomings. Oh, you're going to have shortcomings. But you know what? He can guide you through those. He can take you through problems. He can take you through shortcomings. He can solve your issues. He can give you the place to live. He can give you the right wife, the right husband. He can give you the family you need to have. And he'll give you the right location where you raise your kid. He'll give you all of that because he's living in there. This becomes Christ's own life in you. So, church, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Don't take yourself and sell yourself short. Don't feel like, well, I'm not enough. Don't feel like, well, I don't think I'm good enough. I have this meaning. No. The word's in there. God's in there. And there's no condemnation. So don't try to put condemnation on yourself even. When you start hearing it coming out of your mouth, well, I haven't done enough. Nope. Greater seed is in me. Pull yourself back to the word. Start talking after the word. When you talk after the word, you'll be fine.
Amen.
When I hear you getting off the word and start talking about your problems, your shortcomings, and where you're not making it, and you can move up and, you know, yeah, I know all that. You don't have to tell me that. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear what God can do for you. I want to hear what God is doing for you. I want to hear it coming out of your mouth so I can look at myself and say, Nate, you can do that too.
Amen.
I can overcome too. I can be stronger too. I can be more of a Christian too. I can do these things through Christ who liveth in me. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning, thankful for your word, thankful for you living in our house. Not just around us, but it's your very own life living in us. And when Satan tries to tell us that, oh, I don't have enough, or oh, I need this, or I need that, I need to put him in a corner and let him know that I'm a conqueror and more than a conqueror. Amen. In this life. That you are conquering it for me. You've already conquered, as Brother Branham said. And now we're just manifesting what you've already done. When I get down and out and feel like I'm sad, I lost a loved one, or something's come that hurts the flesh and hurts the spirit, I can always rely on you in me to bring me back to where I need to be, to bring me in focus, because greater is he that's in me than he is in the world. Bless this congregation. Bless those around the world that may hear this message, tune in, and let us stand strong, Lord, knowing who we are, knowing it is God in us. It's God manifested in the flesh, in our flesh. Be with us, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. I see the Word made flesh again. You say you sing that a lot. I do. I see it a lot. Now tonight, we'll have Bible study at 7. And then, just remember the announcements. Where is it? I'm looking for it. 99? Right there. Thank you. God bless you. See you this evening. I see the Word made flesh again in this.